שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the fourth day, Kaf Yud B'Tishrei, Parashas Bereishis, Tashin Pei, 5780, the evening of the fourth day, Wednesday, 22 October 2019. Webcasting from what I reckon most American Jews call the occupied Palestinian territories. Leastwise, that was the language of a self-identified American Jew, a student at the University of Chicago, when just the other day asking a question of the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. This was Erev Shabbos, two nights ago. Before asking his question, this enlightened, in his own mind, Jew called the state of Israel, home to 6 million plus Jews, quote, despicable, for militarily occupying the Palestinian territories. He said this is not the Judaism he was raised on, which is one of love and humanism, close quote. After his poisonous sermon, calling today's 6 million plus Jews in the ancient homeland brought back to life by Jews despicable, like Jeremy Corbyn and soulmates, he asked Mayor Pete about ending the military aid that the U.S. gives to Israel, and the mayor agreed. He was in favor of, quote, using leverage to guide Israel in the right direction, close quote. First of all, one might weep over the reality of an American Jew like this reporting that Judaism was, above all, about love and humanism. Where in the five books, which is comparable as a constitution of the Jewish people as the U.S. Constitution is for the American people, where can one find the word humanism? One can't. An ideology of focusing on the human is not Jewish. Another name for Judaism might be Godism, not humanism. The Greeks focused on the human body as an object of adoration, and we know what happened to them. Plato, Aristotle, and pupil Alexander the Great all supported, even praised, sodomy between men, and logically that led to their people's disappearance. They likewise practiced exposure of babies as a way of murdering the unwanted. Humanism purports to be a philosophy of love of man, but the Jew loves God, not man. It's a fair bet that this renegade anti-Jew Jew student at the pompous University of Chicago hasn't got a clue as to what parsha in the five books Jews will everywhere in the world on this coming Shabbos read. This ignoramus thinks Judaism is about love and humanism, and it's despicable, his word, that Jews rule in Judean Samaria, that he calls the occupied Palestinian territories. If he truly were a knowledgeable Jew, he would know that Judean Samaria are the heart of the land God refers to in his first communication with the patriarch, the first Jew, Avraham. The first address in the Torah by the creator of all that is to Avraham and tells him to go to a land I will show you. That's it. And the rest is history. The history of the Jews conquering Canaan, where they were commanded to live Jewish lives, and what happened to that. It was a package deal. Unlike all conquests of one people over another, over thousands of years of human history until the age of Avraham, no conquering and dispossessing nation ever had the idea of implanting a new culture that would become the most fertile in history and benefit all mankind. The conquest of Canaan was to be the beginning of the redemption of the human race. The first 11 chapters of the Torah are not about Jews at all, but mankind in general, who, left to their own devices, produced a world of violence, of Hamas, hot-headed, guiltless brutality, which required the Great Flood to cleanse the world of its sins. Then after the Flood, still imperfect mankind built the Tower of Babel, aspiring to occupy heaven itself, together with God, but he wants to spread them over the earth and prevents that, not to reach for the stars. And then along came Avraham, whose first communication from the inventor of the universe is to go to a land he would show you. And the rest is history, Jewish history, and then Christian history and Islamic history, all of them beginning with Avraham and that first commandment. Go to what today's obnoxious anti-Jews, Jewish and non-Jewish alike, call the occupied Palestinian territories that the despicable Israelis rule over with their lethal weapons, What that angry at being born a Jew University of Chicago student wanted to know from Mayor Pete was what he, as president, would do about the despicable Israelis receiving American military assistance. Mayor Pete said he would not allow aid to help Israel annex West Bank settlements. He said aid is, quote, leverage to guide Israel in the right direction, close quote. Which brings us to the arrogance of this mentally disordered, delusional man who thinks he's married to another man whom he calls his wife, or maybe he's the wife. He also counseled Israel to preserve the possibility of a two-state solution, which is in Israel's long-term interest, remaining a Jewish democracy, close quote. Translation, in his mind, Israel should not rule in Judea and Samaria. And never mind that when Israel vacated all Jews and IDF installations from the Gaza Strip, the Muslim Brotherhood took over. And everyone here agrees that if an honest election were held among the Arabs in Judea and Samaria, the Brotherhood would win again. Mayor Pete, in effect, supports turning Judea and Samaria over to the Muslim Brotherhood, who have never deviated from their wish not only to rule in Judea and Samaria, but drive out all the Jews. This is what Mayor Pete supports. Just like that anti-Jew student. Mayor Pete thinks Israeli democracy requires an Israeli evacuation of Judea and Samaria. Only this is another intrusion of a Hellenistic, un-Jewish way of thinking. Democracy is a Greek-derived concept. When Judaism is not about democracy, it divides men between Kohanim, Leviim, and Israelim, three categories. Men and women are seen as profoundly different. The ideal Jewish leader is not a prime minister or a president, but a king. By virtue of his virtue, who is expected to have with him, at all times, within reach, the five books. In a word, this news item is a sad addition to the endless examples of the disappearance in America of millions, literally millions of Jews, dissolving into the melting pot and not surprisingly not knowing that the name of the hills where I live is not the occupied Palestinian territories, but Judea, origin of the word Jew. Surely this angry hater of Israel student is blissfully oblivious to the subterranean spiritual malignancy of believing it is evil for Jews to live in Judea, which belongs to the ancient ones. Though the ultimate party guilty for this state of affairs and his state of mind is Israel. Surely this intelligent Jew has a brain stuffed with this generation's successor to the Christian deicide charge, and Israel has yet to confront its responsibility for this terrible state of affairs. For centuries, the Goyim hated Jews because we were all guilty of murdering Jesus, versus today, when the demographics of Christianity in Europe tell us Christianity is at death's door, so the way to hate Jews now is to accuse us of stealing Palestine from the Palestinians, and since 1967 we have cruelly oppressed them with a military occupation that never ends, a despicable occupation. And I say it's Israel's fault for never ever producing the verbal equivalent of an Iron Dome rocket that shoots down enemy projectiles out of the sky. Israel needs a prime minister who will declare to the world that Palestinian nationalism is a hoax, it's fake history, there never was such a people that constituted an independent nation here, today claiming a right to a state in Palestine just like the Jews. It's a fairy tale worthy of 1001 Nights. This angry, ignorant college student, Pishel, can only spout what he spouts because no spokesman for the State of Israel has ever refuted the claim of occupation by demanding Israel's legal and moral right to be sovereign over the land west of the Jordan, as per the League of Nations mandate map, that brought to life a country called Palestine that the Arab Muslims never knew existed. Israel has to shamelessly, in the Trump years, assert its claim and right to annex all of Judea and Samaria, to bestow citizenship on the dwindling Christian population and resident alien status on the others, while legislating a death penalty and expulsion as punishments. So long as Israel does not protest the injustice of calling these Arabs Palestinians and Israeli rule by implication an unjust military occupation, Pishers like this nasty boy in Chicago will use these terms as ammunition for their paradoxically narcissistic self-hate.
Oh,
Speaking before of that de-Judaized student at the University of Chicago, where I spent an academic year myself, last night, the Prime Minister here told President Rivlin that he had failed to create a governing coalition. So today, Benny Gantz got the mandate to create what he today calls a liberal Israel. During the campaign, it was secular Israel he was advertising, but today a liberal Israel, which is more verbal camouflage for a less Jewish Israel. Gantz wants a coalition without the national religious and without the Haredim, and is thinking of bringing in the Arabians. There in the MSM today was Benny Gantz, photographed yesterday holding a Torah scroll surrounded by Haredim on Simchas Torah. And I wanted to spit up the hypocrisy, the intellectual dishonesty of campaigning for a secular Israel and then parading one's alleged love of the Torah, whose commandments this man does not respect. The prognosis today is the same as it has been since last April. Pundits are saying we are headed for a third round of elections. And everybody these days knows Einstein's quip about doing the same experiment again and again, expecting at some point a different result. And I never cease to be annoyed and amused by the contradiction in these people, known this people for its intelligence in so many fields, but when it comes to self-government, we have little to teach the world. But on another note, it was gratifying to see yesterday how Lindsey Graham had changed his mind about Trump's withdrawing from the Kurdish clash with Turkey and other neighbors. On Fox TV News, he spoke of a conversation with the president he had over the weekend and had the integrity to see the larger picture. The age-old international game of nations, like chess, is about seeing several steps ahead after the implementation of a move. Withdrawing the U.S. presence from the Kurds is not to be confused with withdrawing from the region. Graham praised the president for, quote, thinking outside the box. Likewise, the Republican chair of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Jim Inhofe, who led the Senate legislation against BDS, said the president understood the need for the U.S. to maintain air power in the region to keep the pressure on ISIS, to prevent Russia and Iran from exploiting the situation, in his words, and to protect our partners on the ground, that's us. What is encouraging here is the focus on air power versus, in my judgment, the futile insertion of boots on the ground. Toward what end? Toward defeating ISIS? That's possible, but in another 5 to 10 years, for sure, another ISIS-like organization will come to life. The point is that a sober President Trump seems to understand the futility of trying to improve these Muslim communities in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan. As we say in New York, forget about it. This is what a permanent ground presence is all about, helping the friendly locals to defend themselves from the hostile locals. That's a task without end. Given the astonishing new world of aerial engineering, the amazing new F-35 warplane, cruise missile technology, drone technology, we know that the aerial bombing of Afghanistan after 9/11 was the work of B-52s lifting off from, I think, Nebraska, striking their targets in Afghanistan, hanging a U-turn, coming home for dinner the next evening. In other words, until the Muslims developed, until they molt and shed their Hamitic spirit, all the civilized people can do is to defend themselves from them. Forget about peace and helping them to change. That has to come from within. Senator Lindsey Graham was initially, like lots of other critics, against abandoning the Kurds, but now has the intellectual honesty to reconsider. And I hope at some point someone can help him, likewise, reconsider his views on Israel. Now, no doubt about it, he is and has been a great friend of Israel. Only when it comes to the holy two-state solution, he remains a devotee and has yet to learn to think outside the box on that topic. He opposed Netanyahu's declaration of spreading Israeli law over the Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria, and of course rejects annexing anything because he cannot think outside the box of the vocabulary in use today, Which brings us back to that nasty U of C student whose hatred of Israel depends completely on his conceptions of a Palestinian people that never was and an illegal occupation that is otherwise perfectly legal. Graham thinks like that, but without the nasty, venomous hatred. He has yet to understand that the two-state solution was the brainwork of leftist fools, Balin, Rabin, Peres, who are as much the foolish inventors of the Palestinians as the enemy Arabs themselves and other world anti-Jews. Also in line with the sobriety of Trump's démarche was the statement yesterday made by Secretary of State Pompeo that President Trump will not hesitate to use force against Turkey, despite its status as a fellow member of NATO. And one can only hope that the current crisis leads to the expulsion of Turkey from NATO. There are those who say U.S. air bases in Turkey are vital, and so the U.S. must be nice to Erdogan. Erdogan is as much of a jihadi as the Hamas and ISIS operatives he allows to operate in his country. He's like them. He's a shameless Jew hater whose hatred is rooted in the Quran that predates the inventions of the ancient ones by millennia. Erdogan has flooded Europe with Muslims and threatens to do it again to serve his interests. In fairness to him, he does have a major domestic crisis in Turkey in the presence of some 3.5 million Syrian refugees who fled the latest round of fratricide in Syria, in Arabi. Erdogan wants to get them back into Syria, and who can blame him? And the Kurds have been in the way. Trump also has not gone soft on Turkey by threatening major economic warfare. The Department of Justice has just opened a criminal complaint against Turkey's state-owned Halkbank of allowing Iran to buy billions worth of gold using frozen oil money and thus violating the economic sanctions protocol. Trump remains at war with Turkey, if not via boots on the ground, whose presence contributed nothing to U.S. security. The Muslim Middle East is a swamp of fratricide, of Muslims murdering fellow Muslims generation in and generation out, a swamp the U.S. is foolish to wade into and get stuck in more than is necessary.
Thank you. נפשי חמדה בצל ידך לדעת כל רסודך.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. So, I'm optimistic that so long as Donald Trump is in the White House, sobriety will rule. He is damn near unique in his generation for never drinking alcohol or smoking pot, which is why the word sobriety applies. Some polls say the Democrats, the wicked Democrats, are having an effect on besmirching him with their latest fakery. First it was Trump, the Russian agent. Now it's Trump, the Ukrainian agent who betrayed his oath of office. The strategy is to smear him with corruption, when of course the Democrats are the true corrupt party, utterly corrupt in their Hillary Clinton universe in which all is fair, including lying and slandering one's political opponents. Truth takes a distant second place to one's ambition for power. You all longtime supporters know I've always called her Lady Macbeth Clinton, ravenous for the power of the most powerful man in her world. Adam Schiff is likewise a serial liar, an utterly contemptible worm of a man. Likewise, Jerry Nadler, both of them having dreading these months, fear of the fact of their Jewish birth igniting an anti-Semitic wave because they're such obnoxious slanderers of the president. Treatment that he simply does not deserve. They're all horribly corrupt politicians for disrespecting American tradition when it comes to impeachment. There's a history and there's a way to go about it, and they're not going about it the right way. And no less a liar is this Elizabeth Warren woman with her own history of lying. She aspires to fill the shoes of a George Washington who could not tell a lie. Such were American children taught for decades, for a century, about their founding father. How saddening the descent in American culture since the 1960s, when the best and brightest of that generation, of the boomer generation, my generation, children of the greatest generation, when they're best, Bill Clinton, leaves as his legacy as president the stain of spilled seed on a woman's dress resulting from perverse sex play in the Oval Office. How fitting, how symbolic of the generation that led to blessing divorce, blessing fornication, blessing abortion, and sodomy. And only recently we learned that King Billy the Kinky was a regular visitor to Jeffrey Epstein's Island of Depravity for the raping of underage girls. Ugh. And here we have this Elizabeth Warren woman who, the day after the degenerate Mayor Pete voiced his classically anti-Jew policy of telling Jews where they may and may not live, Warren likewise supported the official American policy, she said, of the two-state solution, and, quote, everything is on the table toward imposing that on Israel. On Saturday, Warren said, quote, right now Netanyahu says he is going to take Israel in a direction of increasing settlements, but that does not move us in the direction of a two-state solution, close quote. This Warren has also hired for her campaign a Jew named Max Berger, who has a track record of Israel bashing in the If Not Now group, a record of bashing AIPAC, supporting BDS. Warren has taken him on. Though I attribute this on her part less to an innate anti-Jew animus than ignorance. She too has a brain filled with such word groups as occupied Palestinian territories, two-state solution, the brainwork of leftist Jewish nitwits. She too has yet to hear the news that the two-state solution of 1993 bombed, pun intended, big time, and most sober Israelis today are way past that idea of a fantasized solution that has already proven to be a 25-year-long bloody flop. One can only hope that during Trump's time in office, Israel will have the brains to demolish the word concepts that sustain the hostility to us, starting with occupation and Palestinian territories. Okay, that's it for this webcast, and notice that we posted a link to that University of Chicago student. You got to hear this guy. Until Thursday, then. I'll be back then, God willing. Laila Tov, Meretz Yisrael.